Today we begin Daf Yud Aleph in Maseches Brachos, the 13th Daf in Shas. The Gemara on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis to Yud Amud Aleph is going to elaborate and analyze the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that we had in the opening Mishnah of the Perek. Let's take a look at that Mishnah and review the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a little bit intricate. And then we will see that the Gemara needs to clarify some things in that machlokas. Let's take a look at it inside. On Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we have two lines into the Mishnah, Biprakim. Biprakim over here means between the prakim of the Birchos Kriyas Shema, say between the Brach of Yotzei Ma'ariv and Ava Rabba, or between Vahafta Vahayim Shema'ah. So now let's deal, what types of interruptions are permissible, what are prohibited. This says the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, Shalom Lepnei HaKavod, one is allowed to initiate. If there is someone who garners kavod, one's allowed to initiate and wish him a shalom aleichem. Umeshiv. And between prakim, one is allowed to respond. What is one allowed to respond to? That is not clear. Who one is allowed to respond to? That is not clear. Ubeemtza. And during the prakim, shalom lepnei ayira umeshiv. You're allowed to initiate only if there is fear of the individual and one is allowed to respond. What is one allowed to respond to? How is one allowed to respond to? Again, unclear. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Be'emtza, if one is in the middle of the perek, shoel mipnei ayira, umeshiv mipnei hakovet. If one is in the middle of Kriya Shema, so then in such a case, one is allowed to respond even for kavod. Ubeprakim. And if one is between prakim, shoel mipnei hakavod umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. Rabbi Yehuda seems, even though Rabbi Meir, as we said, is a little bit unclear, seems is more lenient and says that between prakim, you're allowed to respond to every person, even if it's not because of kavod and yira. Says the Gemara, eight lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Ubeprakim shoel. The Gemara is quoting from the opinion of Rabbi Meir that says that between prakim, you're allowed to be shalom bnei hakavod umeshiv. Ask the Gemara immediately right off the bat, what does this meshiv mean? Because the Mishnah is unclear. Meshiv machmas mai. What is he responding to? Ilem bnei hakavod. If we're going to say it's because of kavod, ask the Gemara, that is very difficult. Hashta Mishol Shol. Previously, the Mishnah had told us, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod. It already says you're allowed to initiate Mipnei HaKavod. Adurim Iboi, does the Mishnah need to tell you that you're allowed to respond? We've seen that we're more lenient in responding than we are to initiating, logically. And if that's so, then that's not what should be teaching us. That's not what Meshiv should be teaching us. Ella, rather, Shoel Rabbi Meir is saying you could initiate Bipnei HaKavod, Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam, and you could respond to every person. If that's so, then I've got another problem. Ema Seifa. What about the next position of Rabbi Meir between the within the prakim? Ube'emsa, and within the prakim, in middle of the pasuk, Shoel Mipnei Ayira Umeshiv. You're allowed to ask and initiate because of fear, and you're allowed to respond. Meshim achmas mai. Ilei mipnei yira, if you can say it's because of your hashem mishol shol adur mi boi, ela mipnei hakavod. But rather, it must be because of kavod. It can't be because of yira, because that we got through saying that when it comes to yira, one is allowed to initiate. If that's so, then certainly one is allowed to respond. El v'pnei hakavod. But rather, it must be that the chiddush over here is that betoch haperek, you're allowed to respond even due to kavod. The Gemara, but if that's so, hainu the Rebbe Yehuda, then you are repeating the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. There's no difference between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. If we're going to say that the emtza haprokim, that the halacha is one is allowed to respond v'pnei hakavod, that's exactly Shita Rabbi Yehuda. The Snan Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We learn in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Be'emtza shalom pnei yir, meshiv pnei hakavod, ubeprakim shalom pnei hakavod, meshiv shalom l'chol adam." And that was how you just computed the Shita of Rabbi Meir, the exact same Shita. Answers the Gemara, no. Chisurei mechsera v'hachiktani. This is what the Mishnah should say. There's something missing in the Mishnah. This is what the Mishnah should say. According to Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah says as follows. B'prakim shol mipnei ha-kavod. We continue two lines from the bottom. When it comes to between the prakim, one can initiate mipnei ha-kavod, vein tzarech lo mashu meshiv. And certainly he could respond mipnei ha-kavod. U'be'emtza, and within the prakim themselves, here we are more stringent, only mipnei ha-yira. Shol mipnei ha-yira, vein tzarech lo mashu meshiv. He could initiate because of Yira, and certainly he could respond. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Be'emtza shol mipnei ha-yira. In regards to what he initiates, Rabbi Yehuda also says he could initiate because of fear, in prakim, but here he's cholek on Rabbi Meir. U'meshiv mipnei ha-kavod. Responding, we're even more lenient. Even if it's not based on fear, it's just based on kavod, the halacha is that he's allowed to respond. U'beprakim, but when it comes to the in-between, the prakim themselves, shel mipnei ha-kavod, u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam, and he's allowed to respond to every person. Yesterday, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarech, in the Halacha L'maisa section of Daf Yud Gimel, we discussed that in Shulchan Aruch, we passed like Rabbi Yehuda, and when we went through many of the details. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi. We learned in a Braisa like way we had just presented the Machlokit, Tanoim. Hakoyri Yeshimau, Kogaboy Rabbi Yogodol Imenu, Biprokim, Shalom Ipnei HaKovet. If he meets someone who is greater than him, so then in such a case he's allowed to be shown with Pnakovid, Vein Tarach Lameshu Humeshiv. And certainly he's allowed to respond. Ubeemsa Shom Lipnei Yira, he's allowed to initiate because of fear, Vein Tarach Lameshu Humeshiv. And certainly he's allowed to respond. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Ubeemsa Shom Lipnei Yira, Meshiv Pnakovid. Rabbi Yehuda is more makel in terms of responding, and he says even in the prakim you're allowed to respond because of kavod. Ubeprakim shalom ipnei hakavod umeshiv shalom lechol adam. He's allowed to respond to every person. We'll just make two halacha l'maisa points that we did yesterday, where we went through all of the points, and that is that number one, the Mishnah Berurah says that pizmana and simin samachveyav sif beis. The Mishnah Berurah points out that pizmana zeb, where the custom is not to talk to others in shul, we don't interrupt. So then the rule of Meshiv Shalom Lechol Adam does not apply Bein HaPrakim. Similarly, he says that in the Tar Chazal, when one was responding or initiating Mipnei HaKavod, so there, that was because there was a tremendous mora, tremendous fear of even those you were supposed to have Kavod for. He says, Bizman HaZeh, that does not apply to most individuals, even your Rebbe. However, when it comes to a great person, then the yira exists, and then you have the halacha of kavod. It's important to note that kavod and yira are really two different things. In our Mishnah, when we talk about yira, we're not talking about the yira that comes from kavod from a Rebbe or a great Talmud Chacham. There, Rashi said that was fear of death, that there was a possibility that a person was going to kill the individual. The Bach points out that doesn't mean that Zvada Bikuach Nefesh, certainly he could interrupt. However, over there we're discussing even the smallest suffix. In such a case, the halacha is that as well one could interrupt. And we don't evoke the rule, Ein Suffix Motzi Midei Vadai. Either way, however one understands the concept of Yira, what we're emphasizing is that La Halacha, the poskim say that Kavod, interrupting is not just to interrupt for someone who is Mechubad, but where the individual engenders a tremendous amount of Yira from him. And the actual clause of Yira in our Mishnah is talking about an individual who there's fear in terms of real, real damage that he might incur on the individual. Continues the Gemara, nine lines from the top on Yudalad Amid Alf. Boy mine achi tana devei Rabbi Chiya, mei Rabbi Chiya. Bahalol uba Megillah mahu shiyafsik. What's halacha regards to halal and Megillah in terms of interrupting for the above mentioned people, in terms of initiating shalom? Says the Gemara, Amrin kavachomer. We'll make kavachama kriyashma do raisa posek. Kriyashma is minatayra, yet you could interrupt, according to some tanoim, mipnei akavid. Umeshiv shalom lechol halal derabbanon mibayi. For a halal, where to the rabbanon, do you have a shayla? Odilma persume nisa adif. Persume nisa is different, and then we could still say that by kriyashma you could interrupt, but not to interrupt a persume nisa. Amale, he responded to him. Rabbi Chia responded, "Basic ve'im bekach klum. Don't say that we're going to be more stringent on halal. If you could be mafsik in kriyashma, certainly you could be mafsik on the conditions of kriyashma that you're allowed to be mafsik. So too, you'd be allowed to be mafsik for halal." Amar Rabba, Yomim sha yochid goymer bahen es halal. On the days that individuals finishes the halal. Rashi explains that the expression yochid goymer behen es halal means that there's a responsibility on every individual to say the halal. What the Gemara is emphasizing when he uses the expression shehayochid goymer behen es halal, what the Gemara is emphasizing is that there are times that every single person of Klal Yisrael, every single yochid has a chiyuv to say halal, and then there's a chiyuv of halal if I was saved at a particular day, certain days happened to me, so then that's my own personal halal that said, or a tzibur, a particular community that was saved on that day, so in such a case they have their own chiyuv, but that's not one of the yom sheyach bem gomes halal, which the Gemara and Erechin calculate, if you take into account Rosh Chodesh and other days, comes out to 21 days. Bein perek leperek poisek. Between each perek, then you're allowed to interrupt. Be'emtza perek ain't a poisek. And during a perek, so then in such a case, you're not allowed to interrupt. The Rush writes that this that one is not mafsik be'emtza perek cannot be more chomur than kriyashma itself. That when it comes to kriyashma, the halacha is that one is shoal b'shalom of someone where there is yira, and it is made shalom l'adam hanichbad. So the Rosh says that what this means is that there isn't shoel that a person's not mafsik, just like the halachos of kriyashma. V'yom she'en yachid goyim b'hen esahalo afilu be'emza haperek posik. However, we're talking about a day where not everyone has a chiyuv of saying halal. Here what we're referring to is halal shalom. In other words, that there are days that we only say chatzi halal, so that we will see that some poskim hold that's only a minog. What are some of the days when it comes to Rosh Chodesh and other days? Mistakenly before we had mentioned the 21 days that a person says a whole halal, I mistakenly said Rosh Chodesh. Of course, Rosh Chodesh is not one of the days that we say all of halal, and the 21 days that are calculated over there does not include Rosh Chodesh. The 21 days are the 8 days of Sukkot, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the first day of Pesach, Shavuot, and in Chutz Laaretz there are 3 more days, the second days of Yom Tov, and for those, that equals 21. And then there are other days, there are more days, which include the Rosh Chodesh, so those are Yomim She'ein Ayach Gomer Sahalal, and then the halach is afil be'emza perek poisik, that one is allowed to stop in the middle of the perek. Ask the Gemara, Amy, is that so? V'harav bar shav ikla legabi duravina. Rav bar shav went to visit Rav Vina. V'yom she'en ayach gomen es ha'halal hava. V'lo pasukla, he was careful not to interrupt. Let's say he was Rosh Chodesh. Answers the Gemara, Shani Rav bar shav adelo choshev alea duravina. He didn't consider Rav Bar Shava Choshev, hence, when Ravina was davening, he didn't interrupt. In other words, the case was that Rav Bar Shava had come into the Beit Medrash of Ravina. Ravina didn't say hello to him. And in those days, there was a yira that there was a tremendous fear of not saying shalom to a Talmud Chacham. And for that reason, one could have inferred from Ravina's actions that Ravina held that you're not mafsik for a big kavod on days that you even say half a halal, to which the Gemara rejects and says, no, he didn't hold Rav Bar Shva in that grade of esteem to interrupt. The Gemara continues with another fascinating sugya. First wide line on Yudalad Amanal. Bo'imine Ashyon. Tana deve Rebbe Ami me Rebbe Ami. Hashorui b'tainis. Someone who is in a tainis. Ma'u shiyitam. What's the halacha vis-a-vis him tasting food during that time? Rashi explains, and the devil over here is in the details. We will not discuss yet the halacha l'maisa and all the details. We will go through the basic sugya. And Mir Tashem, the halacha l'maisa section, we will discuss this sugya. What's the halacha regards to tasting food to check if it needs salt or it needs spices? Example, a woman is preparing food for a post-tainus. Believe it or not, there is a tzad that she could taste the food to see if it needs more salt or spices. Do we say that the fellow accepted, in this case the woman accepted on herself, when one has a tainus, if it's a personal tainus, one accepts the tainus on oneself? And in this case, they accepted achil and shtia. V'haleka, tasting, the Gemara takes as a davar pashut, is not considered the same thing as achil and shtia. Odilma hanah kabbalah va'ika. There is hanah. If she swallows, then she's going to have hanah, or maybe even the taste. If she tastes, that itself gives hanah. Amalei, that Rabbi Ami responded, ta'im ve'mekachlum. There is no problem for her to taste. Tanya nami hachi. We learned a parallel in Uchlas brachas. Mita emes eina tuuna bracha. Here it's in the feminine. If a woman tastes, she does not need to make a bracha. Why? Because hana itself is not the full mechayiv. V'ashori b'taynis toim ve'imekachlum. Ad kama. How much could one taste in such a case? Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi toimi atshir reviyasa. Rav Ami, Rav Asi say that one could taste until a revius, and anything less than a revius would not be a problem, both for bracha and for tainus. There are many details in this short Gemara, and Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue with it in the halacha section. We will just point out the two important points that Tosas makes. First of all, Tosas points out that since the Gemara Shaila is in regards to a personal tainus, hana kabbala, but tainus hakasuv, says Tosas, we would not have this heter. The only time Tosas claims, the only time we have this heter is in regards to a personal tainus that one accepted on oneself. Tosas di Ramasal Tolam imbekach klum introduce another chumra over here. Rabbeinu Chananel says that we're talking about a case where one does not swallow. It's chozer v'polet. This whole sugya was talking about when he spits out. But if he would swallow, so then even in a personal tainus, so then in such a case, one would not be able to do it, as well as it could very well be that if one is tasting and one is going to swallow, then it does not need a bracha. This is a big discussion in the poskim. This is the opinion we mentioned, Rabbeinu Chananel, halacha l'maisa. We will be Ezras Hashem discuss at the end of the daf. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav, call a nice and shalom lechaver koim sheispal kilu asa bama. Someone says hello to his friend before he davens, then it's considered as if he brought a false karban. Halacha is that there's a certain place one needs to bring a karban in Yerushalayim once the area of Yerushalayim is sanctified, and one cannot bring up a karban anywhere else. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'apoy kivama nechshav hu. The Navi is telling us that when there is a person who has to be involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then let go, Chidlu lachem min ha'adam, let go of the person, a person, because he's nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki bameh nechshav hu. Of what significance is this person? However, Chazal darshan that as well. Al tikri bameh ela bama. We consider it as if you're bringing a carbon on a bama, which is prohibited. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, you know what? You don't even need to change the meaning of the pasuk, and you could bring out the importance of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first before any other person, greeting another person. Shmuel Amar, Bamecha Shavta Lezeh Velo LeElokah. You gave this individual chashivus and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we can add to Rav's point and understand that he is not in disagreement with Shmuel and get a little bit of a deeper understanding of the opinion of Rav. A human being is a Tzelem Elokim. When we approach a human being and we relate to the godliness inside of him, when we bring out shalom between us and another person, then we are relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Chas v'chalila, when we relate to his bad sides or our bad sides come out, so then it's the opposite. But when we relate to Tzelem Elokim, we are actually relating to the godliness inside of him. This idea I am saying based on both Yesodos and Nefesh HaChayim and the Baal HaTanya. A person makes a mistake where a person doesn't prioritize the order of godliness in this world. There's a tremendous amount of godliness in this world, and it's manifest in many different ways. However, there is a hierarchy. This idea of a hierarchy can be found as well in terms of the concept of Bamos and the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The prohibition, one could suggest, of making a Bama is an individual who says, oh, there's godliness throughout the world, and I'm going to bring a bama, a carbon over here on a bama in my backyard, is missing the point of the centrality of Yerushalayim and the awesome Kedusha of Kedushas HaMikdash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to rest his Shechina in a very particular place, and that is where the Avodah of Karbonos is supposed to take place. Similarly, if someone decides to relate to godliness inside of his friend before he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, that is similar to the idea of making a bama. Just like a bama is prohibited because a person has to understand that there is a hierarchy, that karbanos could only brought bebeso lamim. So too, an individual has to prioritize his encounter of godliness. The first thing in the day is he does not encounter the godliness inside of another person, but rather he brings himself first to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it is mispashet, it then spreads itself out to the other parts of his daily encounter. If that is so then Rav is not just simply changing the meaning of the pasuk Bameh. He's saying that just like Bameh, that who have you reordered your priorities of spirituality with, that is exactly the idea of Bama, and therefore it's considered the same Isser as if someone who brought onto a Bama. The Gemara continues, Masiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked the following question. B'prakim shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv. Asks Rav Sheshes, wait a second. How will you ever have an instance where she'ela would be permissible learning during Kriya Shema? What do you mean, b'prakim shol mipnei hakavod? Didn't we just get through learning from Rav that kol anois and shol lechaver kodim she'yisbal kilo asa abama? Tergama Rabbi Abba b'mashkin l'pischot. Rabbi Abba answers, no, we're talking about a case where the individual came to him. He came towards his Pesach. In other words, when did Rav say that there is an Isser Nais and Shalom L'chaver Kam Shispal? That's if I get up in the morning and I go to greet somebody. However, explains Rashi, if I'm Pogo Baderech, if I meet somebody, so then in such a case, then we have all the Shilas. What exactly am I allowed to initiate, and what am I not allowed to initiate if I'm Bein HaPrakim or I am Toch HaPrakim? What would emerge from this Gemara, according to Rabbi Abba, is that if you happen to meet somebody in the morning, so then in such a case, the Isur of Kol Noisim Shalom L'Chaveiro might not apply. Beis Hashem, in the Halacha section, we will discuss more about this. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oven Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Hashoyin. Also, lo adam lasos chafotz of koyim shiyispal. A person is not allowed to be involved in his business, his needs, before he daven. Shenemar tzedek lefanav yaloch, v'yasim lederech
pa'amav. Rashi explains four lines from the bottom. Tfila shematzdika leboiroi v'hadar v'yasem pa'amav. First, a person justifies his existence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah, and then he begins to be involved with his drachim, his physical concerns. Amar Rav Yidi bar Rav and Amar Yitzchak bar Hashayin. Kol mispal v'acha kach yoytze l'derech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa l'chafato. Person first davens and then goes on the way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets his stuff done for him. Shenema tzedek l'fanav yaloch v'yosem l'derech pe'amav. Amar Rabbi Yoina, Amar Rabbi Zeira, five lines from the bottom on Yudalat Amalaf. Kol alon shivas yom b'loi chaloim nikra ra. Whoever has 7 days passed and has not had a dream, bad stuff. Shenemar, as the pasuk in Mishle says, v'saveya yolin bal yipoked ra'a. Al tikri saveya. Don't read the pasuk as someone who lives in constant satiation, which is a bad thing, but rather Ela Sheva, it's making reference to seven, someone who's Yolim B'Sheva. What's Yolim B'Sheva? Chazal are darshaning 7 days without a dream. Amar Le'Vacha Breda Rav Chia Baraba, Hachem Rav Chia Amar Rav Yochan, Kol HaMazbiya Atma V'Divrei Torah, V'lon Ein Mevasr Noisroi B'Surot Roi. Shenemar V'Saveya Yolim Bali Pocket Ra. Someone who first, before he goes to sleep, fills himself up with Torah, call him as Biatma Medivre Torah, so then he doesn't get bad news. Before a person goes to sleep, he should be Osik Batorah. Keep in mind also that the Rambam says that the Zman of Laila is a Zman that's Mesugal for Torah, as well as that Chazal say in terms of Hirur, when a person goes to sleep, so there, what protects against hearer is being osek the Torah. The Mishnah told us Elohein ben yom aprakim ben aprakim that we had a list of those things that qualify as between the prakim. Amar Rabbi Yevo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kereb Yehuda. Says the halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar that had told us in our Mishnah ben elokechem leemes v'yatziv lo yafsik. That when a person should not stop between Hashem elokechem and interrupt between that and Emes V'yatziv. Rather, we saw that a person should say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, even though the pasuk concludes Ani Hashem Elokeichem, he should say Emes as the minig in Klal Yisrael, and then it has the din middle of the perek according to the Shitas Haramba. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yevo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the rationale for Rabbi Yehuda that says you should be careful about not interrupting between Hashem Elokechem and Emes? Dichsiv Hashem Elokim Emes. Because the pasuk says Hashem Elokim is Emes, and that we want to always associate Emes to godliness. This is, the Kotzke Rebbe would emphasize this in Avodas Hashem, and he would always point out that one has to be very careful that even one's avodas Hashem be be'emes and not be filled with superficiality of people being religious because of their own kavod or other people watching. Hence, maybe we could say in the Derech of Kutz, which is the Masorah from my parents, maybe we could add that that's the meaning behind Hashem Elokim Emes, that you always have to put Hashem Elokechem with Emes, because if one separates them, so then even the Avodas Hashem, Chas v'Chalila, could be filled with Sheker. The Gemara now asks on the top line of Yudalid on the base, Chayzer v'Omer Emes, Oy Eina Chayzer v'Emes. Does a person repeat the Emes, or does he not repeat the Emes? Now that he has concluded Shemana Esrei, and he has said, Kriya Shema, and he has said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. Then, as in our custom, the Chazan then says, Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. And now he's ready to start V'yatziv V'nachan. But really, V'yatziv really starts Emes. So does he repeat the Emes again a second time? So here we have a point of disagreement. Second line from the top of Yudalam, Beis Amar Bivo, Amar Bivo, Choyzev Am Emes, Rabba Omer, Eina Choyzev Am Emes. Rabba says, and this is how we follow the halacha, one does not repeat. Ahu de nachis kamei de rabba. somewhere went down to be by Rabba. Shamia Rabba the Omar MSMS Trey Zimni. The Shan Sin Gemara, the Hebrew edition of Art Scroll, points out that the word Nachis often means to go down to Davin. We learned earlier in our Masechta, in the Agadita, in the first parak, that we learn from Mimamakim that a person is supposed to go to a low place to Davin, not to Davin in a high place. So what it means to go down in front of Rabba means that in the presence of Rabba, he went down in the place where the Baal Tfila Davins, where the Shliach Tzibur Davins, and over there, he heard Rabba heard him say MS twice. In other words, he had said Hashem Elokeichem MS, and then he said MS V'yatziv. By the way, this custom of having a place to go down, I've seen in a shul, the Agudas Yisrael of Baltimore, is built in a fascinating way, where the place where the Shliach Tzibur Davins, there's actually an indentation in the floor, and he's much lower down than everybody else. Rabba's response is a little bit cryptic. Amar Rabba, when he saw this individual who was in this hole davening, he said, Amar Rabba, kol emes v'emes tafsei lahai. Rashi seems to learn that what Rabba was saying was that the saying of emes has grabbed this person, that he's concerned, and he repeats the word emes. Rashash adds to this point by changing the girsa of kol to bol, and bol means thought. According to the Rashash, it will fit well with Rashi's idea. Bol emes ve'emes, bol emes emes tofsei lahai, that this individual is obsessed, the thought of emes emes has grabbed him. A little bit of a Freudian slip of MSMS, as well as possibly as well a little bit of an OCD towards MS the MS. Says the Gemara, six lines from the top. Amrasif, kama ma'al yohoshmaitza. How beautiful is this teaching? Dechi asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amra. Amri b'ma'arova, they say in Eretz Yisrael. Arvis. In the evening, what they say is, "Daber al bnei Yisrael v'mart aleihem ani Hashem lekeichem emes." That's what they say. That's the whole Kriya Shema at night. Rashi explains. Let's take a look and see Rashi inside the third line from the top. Kriya Shema shel Arvis in Korim ba Parsha Sitzes Kula Fisha in Mitzvah Sitzes. Belayel there's no Mitzvah Sitzes at night. Avo Masichil and also Masichim ba Medal Givomer ani Hashem lekeichem emes. They're careful to have the opening pasuk and the end pasuk, but Sitzes is not necessary to be read. And this was the custom that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda reported when coming from Eretz Yisrael. Amale Abaye Maimal Yusa. What advantage is this custom? Va'amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Lo Yaschil, Vim Hischil Goymer. Rav had said that one should not start Vayoymer at all in Mayrav. But if you do start, then you should finish. If you're going to answer Va'amar to Aleim, Vayomer Shem El Moshe Leim Adaba El Bnei Yisrael Va'amar to Aleim Lo Have Eskal. That's not considered starting. So we see that it's considered as if one has started. No, he disagrees and says that it's not considered a schala. What is the true haschala for the parsha of Vayoymer? Until you say Vaslam Tzitzit, it's not considered a haskala. Amar Abaye, Hilka Chanana Schule Michalinon, Dikamas Chili Bimarov. We do, like they do in Maravah, we start up until the Amarta Aleim. However, Vikiman Aschalina, but we hold, once you hit Vamarta Aleim, Migmar Nami Gamrina, that you have to finish. So that's why we can't do what they do in Eretz Yisrael, that they just say, and then they skip to the pasuk of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because by us it's considered a full haschala, and therefore we have to say the whole parsha. One needs to. Chiyabarav teaches us another halacha. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. If a person says Ani Hashem Elokeichem, tzarich lomar emes, then he needs to say emes. As we've mentioned from the past, one cannot differentiate, separate Hashem Elokeichem with emes. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Lo yemar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ein tzarich lomar emes. If he did not say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, he doesn't need to say emes. Va'boilid kuri yitzias mitzrayim. But he needs to mention yitzias mitzrayim. To Amar hachi, moidim anachnu lecha Hashem lokeinu, she'otaseinu me'eretz yitzrayim v'tisnal beis avodim, v'asisa lanu nisim uvuros alayom v'sharnu lecha. Gemara says that one does not need to mention yitzias mitzrayim specifically in the pasuk of Ani Hashem Elokechem Hasher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The only time we need to say Ani Hashem Elokechem and the Emes, the Muna, etc., up until the point of Gal Yisrael, is if we started. If we started, Ani Hashem Elokechem Chia Barav teaches us you need to say Emes and then the whole subsequent bracha. However, the Gemara told us, we deduce from Chia Barav's statement that if he did not say Hashem Elokechem, he doesn't need to say Emes. And here we need to add a drop into the Gemara that one needs not say the whole Parsha of Emuna as well as the Bracha. To which then the Gemara asks, but there's a mitzvah of the Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos. That was something we had learned on the bottom of the Mishnah on bottom of Yudbeis on Yudbeis. To which the Gemara answers, no, that we could also say Moedim Ananu Lecha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Lav Dafka in the context of Kriya Shema. The Gemara continues by quoting the next part of the Mishnah on Yugimel Amid Aleph. The Mishnah, in its last point, had explained the order of Kriya Shema. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha had said that the reason why Shema precedes Yim Shemaya is because first you need to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, and then Vayim Shemaya, which deals with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. And finally, Vayoymer is last because Vayim Shemaya applies both during the day and at night because of Tzitzis. The last Parsha does not because Tzitzis applies only during the day. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Shua Mekarcha Lama Kima Parsha Shat. The Gemara makes a reference to this opinion of Rabbi Shua Mekarcha that we learned in our Mishnah. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kedai Rabbi Shimon, L'smoch Alav V'Sha'as Hadchak, the Heiliger Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, another reason of the order of Kriya Shema. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, B'dinu Shiyakdim Shema L'Vayim Shemaya, Shezil Lomoyd V'Zelu Lamed. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai warns us he can't skip steps, Rabbi Isai. The first parsha of Ahavta says, V'dibarta bom, that refers to your own learning. First, you got to learn yourself. Then, V'zel Olamei. Then we go to Vayim Shemaya, which has V'limatem Oysam Espeneichem. V'hayim Shemaya L'vayoymer, Shezel Lilmoid V'zel Lasois. V'hayim Shemaya precedes Vayoymer, because Vayoymer, as Rashi explains, is the Lashon of Asiya. And hence, we go from the order, as we say in the Bracha, ironically, or not coincidentally, before Kriya Shema, Lishmar, Lilmod, Ulamed, Lilmod, Ulamed, Lishmar, Velasos. Ultimately, Velasos is the last one. Asks the Gemara, Otu Shema, Lilmod, Ispe, Lilat, Shema only has Lomod, Lelamod, Lelamed, Velasos, Lesbei. Does it not have also the other parts to teach as well as to do? Vaksiv, doesn't it say Vishinantam Levanecha? It doesn't say only Vidibarta Abam. It says to teach to your children. Ukshartem Uchsavtam, it also has what one is supposed to do. Vesu, and another argument. Vayim Shemaya, Lelamed, Ispe, Velasos, Lesbei. Does Vayim Shemaya not have Lasos? Vaksiv, Ukshartem Uchsavtam, it also has the kshira and of tefillin and the ksiva of mezuzah. Elohachi kamar, but rather this is what Rashbi meant. Bedinu shetekadim shema levayim shemaya. Really, shema should come before vayim shemaya. Why? Shezelomayd ulalamed velasoyz. Because the ahavta shema has all three. Vayim shemaya levayomer shezeyashpo lalamed velasoyz. And vayim shemaya has both lamed and lasoyz. Vayoymer Aimba Elo Lasois Bilvad. It only has the Asiya. So ultimately, someone who wraps in all three things, Lilmaid, Ulalamaid, Lishmar, Velasois, ultimately that is greater than just the Asiya. This is a very important point because people point out correctly so that it's not enough just to be Lilmaid. It's not enough just to be Ulalamaid. It has to be Lishmar, Velasois. But we see what's greater is a parsha that encompasses all, and a person that encompasses all as well.
asks the Gemara, "V'tepe klemid Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha." And what about Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's beautiful reason that we had in our Mishnah, that we have also Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, specifically in the first? Says the Gemara, "Chodav Od Kamer." He's saying this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, plus Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wasn't mevatel others who didn't take his approach. Unfortunately, sometimes those who follow Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai are mevatel others, and vice versa. Those who don't follow or are not learned in the Kabbalah, chas v'chalim mevatel in the other direction. No, chada v'oid kamar. Chada sheyikav olav ol machu shemayin tzri, v'achakach yikav olav ol mitzvos, v'ol mishum disbe hani mili achrini yasa. And as well, because the parsha of Shema is so powerful, that is lomod, l'lamed, and lasa. Bezras Hashem, our first topic today for Daf Yudad in Meseches Brachas, in the Halacha section, is the status of tasting on a fast day and vis-a-vis bracha, as well as tasting machol asuras. The Mechaber Paskins in Tov Kuf Samach Zayin in regards to the statement and question of our Gemara. The Gemara questions, what would the halacha be in regards to tasting on a fast day? And the Gemara concludes that one is allowed to taste. Similarly, the Gemara says, if one tastes, one does not need to make a bracha. If we simply had the words of the Gemara, what would come out would be a massive kula. And that is that on a fast day, one is allowed to taste something and that it is permissible to taste even on a fast day. However, Tosfos gives us an important injunction. Tosfos in the Bar Maskil Toim, and this is how the Mechaber Paskins in Tov Kuf Samach Zayin says that the requirement is that a person needs to spit out. Says the Mechaber, Hashorui betanis, yochol litam kederviyas ubilvad sheyiflot, he needs to spit out, and comes along the Mechaber and he adds another chumrah on top of this, in the name of the Ri Abartzaloni, ubiyom ha-kipurim ubetisha b'av aser. And in Yom Kippur on Tisha b'av, nevertheless, it will be prohibited even to taste less than a reviyas with spitting out. You cannot put it all in your mouth. The Be'er Halacha gives a fascinating explanation for the Ribar Tzolni's Chumrah, and he says the Ribar Tzolni's Chumrah has nothing to do with Allah's of Tainus. Our Gemara said that if you spit out, it's not going to be a problem. And if it will be considered as if you're breaking the Tainus, then it should apply to all Tanesim. Why specifically Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av? And the answer is that because both Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av, the Halacha is that you're not allowed to put your hand into water. There is an iser of rechitza. And the halacha is that by putting it in water, one is violating the iser of rechitza. Hence, putting something in your mouth is part of the iser of aser lahoshet etzbo'o b'mayim. This would be the psak for Svaradim, that they would be allowed to taste less than revias and spit out, with the exception of Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av. However, for Ashkenaz, the Rama says that it applies to all tainus tzibur, v'yesh machmir b'chol tainus tzibur hachinogin, and one could argue that the approach of the Tosfos, which the Rama is presenting, which is found by us in Dibur HaMaskil Odilma, is very much mukhrach in the Gemara, because the Gemara says the question is what was a person's intention when he was mekabel the tainus. So if we're talking about a person's kabbalah, that is only a personal tainus, is not in regards to one of the tanios. So bottom line for Ashkenazim is one is not allowed to even taste and spit out even less than a revius. According to Sfardim, it will be prohibited to spit out even more than a revius on a tainus, let's say like Asara Beteves. For an Ashkenazim, it would be entirely prohibited. There is one exception. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav says we could rely on the lenient opinions if someone is preparing for Seudas Mitzvah. We would say that tasting and spitting out does not qualify as Hana'a. One could ask the following question. When it comes to something that has a chash of iser, for example, in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, we discuss often a bit of milk that falls into a pot of flesh. So we know the halacha is that we follow tam. The Gemara tells us that tam could also be measured as 60 times the meat to the milk. However, in the time of the early poskim, as well as in the Gemara, it used to be given over to a kfela, a cook, to taste. We paskin in Yoredei and Simon Tzadiches that the kfela should be a Gentile, lest the person who's tasting it actually tastes the milk, then God forbid he will have eaten the milk and meat tether. That's how we paskin. Taz asks a very interesting question. Yoredei Tzadi Ches Beis. Taz asks, but if a Jew would taste and spit out, it should be permissible. However, the Taz concludes, and this is also quoted in the Mishnah Brura in Simin Tov Kuf Samach Zayin Sif, that when it comes to Shari Surim, we don't have this leniency. This leniency was accepted specifically in regards to a personal kindness. Again, according to the Taz, this Gemara would only be talking about what is an individual's mindset when he takes a particular tainus upon himself. However, even if a person does not swallow, one can get hana, and therefore the heter would not apply, just like the Ramah says it doesn't apply by other tainusim, it does not apply by other isurim as well, according to the Taz. In regards to bracha, the halacha actually comes out slightly differently. The Mechaber paskins in Reish Yud Siv Beis two opinions. Hatayim es hatav shel ein tzarech levarich ad revius v'afilu mubayla. First opinion of the Mechaber is that one could swallow up until the revius if one is simply tasting a food. V'yeshayim, however, the Mechaber quotes the second day that one needs to spit out, and if one swallows, even if one is tasting, the halacha is one needs a bracha. The Ramah paskins safek brachos lahakel. So what will happen is the following. For Ashkenazim, on the one hand, they will be machmir in regards to tasting, even to spit out on a tainus. On the other hand, if they're tasting and even swallowing, since there is a machlokis aposkim how to read our Gemara, we say safek brachos lahakel, and halacha lemaisa, if a person tastes, then in such a case for Ashkenazim, then they do not need to make a bracha, even if they are going to swallow. Even for Svaradim, it's a stam, v'ache kach yesh omrim, and presumably, according for Svaradim as well, there will not need to be a bracha. Some achroinim are medayik from the Rashi on our Amud, four lines in, Dibra Maskel Ma'al Shiyitim, that Rashi says that what's does not require a bracha, and what does not qualify as violating eating when tasting on a tainus is if you're checking out if the food has enough salt or has enough spices. What happens if you're tasting if the food is good? He tasted fantastic. Well, he enjoyed the food. What about the bracha? What about violating the tainus? Some achronim say that this whole heter of not making a bracha, or the times that's permissible on a fast day, is only if you're tasting for a particular ingredient. But if you're tasting it, it tastes good, and then it turns out it tastes good, you enjoyed. So in such a case, one would need to make a bracha. However, the Mishnah Brura does not seem to rule this way. In Simen Reish Yud, Sif Katan Yud Dalid, he rules, Mitzad Machron Shiuru Rakik Zayis, and in such a case, he says, V'af V'dad Apa Shulchan Aruch, Kosev Ein Sarech Levarech. He understands, according to Shulchan Aruch, that one does not, and it would seem from the Mishnah Brura that even in such a case, it would be permissible without a bracha. This concludes our first set of halachas from Daf Yudaled. Our second topic, Be'ezer Hashem, is the subject that our Gemara had brought up, where we had a beautiful memra from Rav and Shmuel about someone who proceeds to greet someone else in face of greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to Rav, someone who does that is equated to someone who places a bama. And in the Daf Yomi Shir, we elaborate al pi machshavu what we thought might be a beautiful chidush of why it's particularly like someone who offered up a carbon like a bama. Let's turn now to the halacha lemaisa application of these shilas. What exactly and when exactly is there a prohibition of greeting someone before davening? Here the Shulchan Aruch is quite straightforward. In Simen Pei Tes, Siv Beis, the Mechaber paskins as follows. Kivan shehigiyah zman tefila, asa lahakdim lahakdim v'pesach haver liten lo shalom. The moment the zman of tefila has come, it's prohibited to go to someone else, go out. Notice the lashon of the Mechaber, go to his house to give him shalom. Mishum, here he adds a beautiful agada,
The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom, and it's inappropriate to use the Shem Hashem to another person before one actually uses it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vamevin Yavin, this is very similar to the idea that we had elaborated upon in the Daf Shir about the Bama. Either way, Avol Mutar Lo Marlo Safra Demarei Tov. But he's allowed to say to him, good morning. However, you cannot go and seek him out to say to him, good morning. Vafilu Zeheina Mutar Elekesh Utzra Leches Liros Eze Eisek. It's only permissible if you were going to see a particular matter. Mishnah Berura, of course, qualifies that that's only when that matter was permissible to go see before tefillah. In other words, what we would describe in English, you've chanced upon him. So there are two isurim that are at play. Number one, one should never greet someone with shalom before one has daven. And even in the cases where it's permissible to greet him, don't use the name, the word shalom. In a case where you've chanced upon your friend and you haven't gone to visit him, so then in such a case, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see in a moment why I say Shulchan Aruch, it's permissible to say good morning. And of course, it's prohibited to bow down to him as well. However, v'im hischil levarech habrachos ein lochush kol kach. The Mechaber has a leniency where he says, however, if one has started the brachos, so then in such a case, there would be room to be able to be koreya, to be able to bow to him a little bit beforehand. What emerges then, lahalacha, is the following. To go to someone's house before one has davened, even if one has begun brachos, would be inappropriate. Using the shame to say hello to them. Using the shame shalom is inappropriate before one has davened. Even if one has started saying brachos. However, if you have chanced upon your friend, in other words, you're walking to shul, then according to the Mechaber, it's permissible to say good morning. It's interesting to note that both of my rabbeim made similar points and came to very opposite conclusions in regards to good morning. Rav Neman Sal Shlita, in his Mishnah Berura on page 238, points out that saying, wishing some good morning is actually a tefillah. It's praying. It's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a good morning. This same point was made by my Rebbe Rav Braunspiegel in the United States, where he pointed out that it bothers him very much that people don't say hello to each other and wish each other a good morning, and then he would smile and say, and you could actually wish them, pray for them, that they should have a good morning. So my two great rabbeim made the exact same point, that the statement of good morning is a bakasha, it's a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if a person really has human emotion, that really he empathizes with his friend, that when he wishes them a good morning, he is davening for them that they should have a good morning. Rav Nevinsal then pointed out that this might create a halachic problem, and that is that when you daven with in Aramis, in Aramaic, there are some who hold that you need a minion to be able to daven in Aramaic. Hence to say, Tzafra Demara Tov, he thinks, would not be recommended. However, presumably, to say good morning, I have to ask Rav Nevinsal, I did not have the opportunity, he would agree is okay if you bump into your friend, because the name of Shalom Rav Nevinsal adds is Hashem Hashem, so then if you meet your friend in the morning, Nevinsal claims, after davening, then it would be better to greet him with Shalom, because then you're greeting him the Hashem Hashem, than saying Boker Tov, because you're praying for Shalom with the Hashem Hashem versus Boker Tov. It seems to me that some people, I don't understand why, it could be that there is a Mar Mokom I am missing over here. For some reason, people are careful not to even wish each other a good morning when they pass each other before tefillah. It doesn't seem to me in the Shulchan Aruch that that is muchrach at all, except for Rav Nevinsal's point about saying Tzafra Demara Tov, and as my Rebbe had mentioned, that davening and wishing and truly wishing a person a good morning
is an appropriate thing, and it's something that shows sensitivity, how both of my great rabbeim approached the statement of good morning, and seeing it as a way of truly relating to another person, is something we should work on in our Avodas Hashem.